These days, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make all kinds of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs in towns and cities across the country. And jobs bring pride. Purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.
I'm Sam Keir, host of Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. For the past 12 months, I've been talking to T20 star David Visa, getting his take from behind the scenes at the IPL, the 100 and the rest of the world's biggest leagues.
That's the Donny Review system, Diogis. There's no ways in my mind that was up.
These guys don't know how to win at this stage.
He had his driver pick him up in his Bentley.
People start chanting your name. You kind of have to pinch yourself.
Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sport Social.
Hello, and welcome to the LFC Transfer Room podcast for Anfield Index. Our focus today is on a name you've sure to have seen batted around plenty lately, even if you're not quite sure how to say it. That's Lyon midfielder Nabil Fekir. I'm Alex Mansfield, and today joining me we have not two, but three distinguished guests, which is fantastic because that means more insight from them, less droning from me. So first, from one of the best outlets around, GFFN, we have Mr. Adam White. Adam, how you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. Excited to be talking on this one. And thank you again for taking the time to join us.
No problem.
Next, from the absolute gold standard for all things Lyon, OL Plus, we have Stan by way of Sweden. Stan, how are you doing, my friend?
I think fine so far. That's a first for me, so I hope it's going to be well till the end.
Good, man. And thank you again for the long-distance e-commute. Finally, to lend us a bit more insight on the Liverpool perspective, we have the best of both worlds. This is a Liverpool fan currently residing in Lyon, Mr. Kevin Mesker. Kevin, how are you doing, man?
I'm all good. Thank you very much. Very excited as well. This is a first, and go Liverpool.
Yeah, well, we got a good time to be talking about it. Few things could be more exciting than, you know, what's coming up in a couple weeks' time. But, you know, I got to say, this lad we're going to talk about is about on par with the Champions League final for a lot of us. So usually when we start these out, we just kind of bat around a bit of chatter about player backgrounds, transfer history, etc. Fekir's a pretty straightforward one. He's a Lyon Academy product. He's joined the system actually twice, having been dismissed the first time for being quote unquote too weak. Graduated the first team in 2013-14, only made a handful of appearances. Following season, just completely burst onto the scene. 15 goals, 12 assists in all comps, en route to winning League One's Young Player of the Year award, as well as earning a spot in the League One Team of the Year. You know, his rise was kind of short-lived. I think just a couple days after he recorded his first career hat trick for the club, he suffered a cruciate ligament injury on international duty, missed the bulk of the campaign. A lot of folks wondered about his ability to bounce back. And well, the past two seasons have been a pretty emphatic indicator from him. He's put up a resounding 36 goals and 19 assists across all competitions. And that kind of takes us to today. If you've been following the past few weeks, you see several reports from both English and French media, and they all point to some sort of interaction between Liverpool and Lyon. Depending on who you believe, the deal might be all but done. The two sides may be miles apart. Whatever the case, it's a rumor that seems to have some legs. So I want to start. Adam, I'm going to come to you first here. If this deal does go through, tell me a little bit about what kind of player Liverpool would be getting in Nabil Fekir.
Well, they'd be getting a brilliant player, first of all. I think you mentioned when he broke through sort of that season, it must have been 14-15 perhaps even now, when Lyon challenged PSG for the title, fell away at the end, ended up finishing at 8 points behind. But they were absolutely fantastic that year, and that was a lot of that was down to Fekir and Alex Lacazette. You know, he's a stocky, skillful number 10, innovative, creative, pretty varied in his play. That quote you had about him being weak isn't the case anymore. He's a pretty powerful individual, although, you know, pretty stocky too. So the classic number 10 attacking midfielder type, a confident lad as well, and willing to try sort of different things. You know, there was a brilliant example of Liverpool fans will probably remember Fabio Aurelio's goal in the Champions League against Chelsea, where he looked sort of like he was going to cross from a free kick and shot went in off the post, and I think it was at Stamford Bridge. And Fekir did a very similar thing against PSG in their win over PSG at home this season. They won 2-1, scored the first goal. So he's a really, really exciting player and very skillful, and he's really exciting to watch.
Yeah, confident, I think, is the proverbial word anyone who's done who's done the YouTube scouting over the past couple of weeks has seen. He certainly has an air about him, and clearly has the talent to back it up, it would seem. In that same vein, Stan, I want to ask you, as a, you know, someone who's followed Lyon for a little while, there have been question marks about Fekir's behavior, his attitude in general. You know, some of it stems from his return from that injury, coming back, you know, possibly overweight, not quite having the commitment to fitness. You know, for a guy who's wearing the captain's armband at the club, what do you make of his attitude and behavior as a whole? And I guess, you know, to follow up question, how is he as a captain?
Well, it's quite a discreet player. I mean, we don't know much about his private life or things like that. And yeah, he was a bit fat when he came back from his injury, but he definitely worked on that. And a few weeks after, he was just perfectly fit. And it was, in fact, a great improvement in his play to get fit again. So he knows exactly what he has to do. And it's really a great captain, because there is nothing more than he's trying to avoid that bright light. I mean, he stay in the back. It's always the team first. And he's absolutely not show off. As I said a bit earlier, there's absolutely nothing you can know about his private life. We know that he's married. We know that he got a kid, but that's all. We never hear from him outside of the field, where, in fact, he's brilliant. We were a bit surprised when he was named as captain earlier this year, but it turned out that he's definitively making the team better in the way that he's focusing really on the field, and he's bringing all the guys around him I don't know how to describe that exactly, but you just feel like there's some kind of force coming from him. He's just really encouraging the team and leading it. And at the same time, that's a team that he's leading, not himself leading the team. I'm not sure I'm really clear in what I'm saying here, but he's not going to show to anyone. He's going to make everyone better. And that's exactly what we expect from a leader, from a captain. So the move to name him captain, everyone was a bit skeptical at the beginning, because yes, he was not appearing as being a leader, but in the field he is definitively.
No, excellent. And yeah, and you know, the one thing that we as Liverpool fans banter about quite a bit is what it does take to be a leader. I mean, one of the ongoing narratives for the past few years is surrounding Jordan Henderson's competency and capability as a leader. And a lot of folks are of the mind that, you know, an on-field leader needs to be that general, pointing around, shouting, ordering his players. But as, you know, as Jurgen Klopp has said lately, you know, a lot of Henderson's leadership comes from what he does off the pitch, how he galvanizes the group. And so I hear a lot of that same bit.
Sorry to interrupt. Fekir is definitely not the one that's going to face the press or the fans. He's not going the one that is attract the light, but is going to do the job on the field to motivate all the team, definitively.
Great. No, and I like that, and that's one thing that Liverpool have certainly lacked lately. And you know, they've got some wonderful leaders in the group now, but they're still thin in that rank. They don't have a lot of proven winners, and so I'm sure Fekir would be a welcome addition there. Kev, let me shift to you here from a Liverpool perspective. Give me your two cents on how you think Fekir would fit within LFC's system.
It's funny because I was born in Lyon. I was supporting Lyon as a kid and began to support Liverpool years later. So I've seen Fekir grow as a player in Lyon, and he's very offensive, he's physical, he's smart, and as Adam said, he's very exciting to watch. And I would say he would fit into Klopp's team very well because he's leading by example and he's always willing to improve, in my opinion, just as a fan, a football fan. I've seen him very improve quite a lot in the last few years. And I think with the players and the qualities we got in the Liverpool squad now, he's going to be just perfect for the role.
Let me ask you, you touched on the physicality quite a bit. Obviously, that's one of the caveats a lot of people have in any transfer that involves bringing a player to England from another European league, is to talk about the physicality. Do you believe that Fekir is suited to play in the Premier League?
Oh, I think he'll do just fine if he works on physical conditions and if he doesn't get injured. But I'm very convinced he's going to fit and do his job and improve, you know, just work out quite well, follow Klopp's instructions, and he's going to be fine. I hope so.
Oh, you and me both. Adam, let me shift it back to you for a second. This kind of comes in light of a Liverpool performance this past weekend against Brighton that saw Klopp have to make some kind of last-minute changes, some system tweaks. He's played predominantly 4-4-3 for the past few years. When he came over from Dortmund, he was renowned for playing a 4-2-3-1. We even saw him set up 4-4-2 at times this season. One of the things I've heard about Fekir is he's lauded for his versatility, his ability to play across many positions. Let me ask you this first. Where do you feel he is suited best to play? And is there any particular position that you think he would benefit from playing if he were to join this Liverpool squad?
Yeah, this is a really interesting question, because I personally think that Fekir definitely has a best position. You are correct, and he is versatile in that he definitely can slot in different positions. You know, he's a classic number 10, but I've only really felt that he's played at his best in that position. He's played wide on occasion, but over the last sort of 18 months or so, Bruno Genesio, the Lyon manager, sort of struggled to fit all of his players into his team. He's sort of got 7 players for 6 positions in sort of the front 6. And when Fekir's been moved out wide, I really feel like his performances have suffered. He gets less opportunity to influence the game, and he's maybe even gets a little bit isolated. That's obviously a little bit to do with the way that Lyon sort of addressed that 4-3-3. When they use it, they've switched to a much narrower system with 2 strikers up front, which is kind of suiting Memphis Depay, and he's been brilliant, and it gives sort of Fekir a chance to sometimes play as a tip of the diamond or more centrally. And I really think that's where he would be suited. So if Liverpool continue with 4-3-3, which you imagine they would as their sort of go-to formation into next season, as it has been this season, as you mentioned, although there's been some variation in there, it is a little bit concerning as to where exactly Fekir would fit in, because you think about where Coutinho played, and he kind of played as some sort of the furthest thinking of that midfield 3 a lot of the time, sometimes wide as well, I suppose. But if Fekir is going to play, then he would need to, if he's going to go to Liverpool, he'd get the best out of him if he played centrally. And obviously, I don't think he's going to start pushing Firmino or Salah if he stays, or Mane out of the side. So he'd have to play in one of those midfield 3 positions. And the way that 4-3-3 works, you kind of feel like it's more sort of deep lying, the type of role that he would need to play. And for me, he's an out and out number 10. So he would suit 4-2-3-1 really well. But whether that suits the rest of Liverpool's midfield is open to debate. I mean, I'm sure, you know, that there are options there and there are ways to work around it. But there is a slight sort of square peg in a round hole situation here if he does make the move. And I'm confident that he could adapt to a slightly deeper role as part of a 3 in midfield. And he could, you know, be brought into play a little bit if he played wide, because there's the opportunity to drift in perhaps a little bit more than there is at Lyon. But it'd be interesting to see if Liverpool do sign him exactly where Klopp plays him. I personally play him as a number 10, but that might affect the balance of the rest of the side.
Yeah, well, and that is going to be the big juggling act. Obviously, midfield has been a spot that has been targeted for reinforcement. The defense has been shored up with, you know, the arrival of Van Dijk and Robertson. Karius starting to play well. Forward line speaks for itself, bar the need for some reserves. But clearly, the midfield's what's getting the most attention, presumably, this transfer window. So, yeah, there are definitely going to be personnel coming in. There will definitely be questions about who is best suited where. The name you mentioned, the obvious, you know, comparison drawn, I don't know if ever directly by Klopp or anyone else in Liverpool per se, but a lot of people have touted Fekir as a potential Coutinho replacement. And I'm going to open this up to anyone. Feel free to jump in as you please. You guys know more about Nabil Fekir than I do. I have probably watched Coutinho a little bit more than you guys may have, but if you had to compare the two, both in terms of where they are as players now, as well as their ceiling, who would you say is the better player and why?
Yeah, I think that's also an interesting question. I mean, personally, as it stands, I think Coutinho's is a better player. I think he probably suits Liverpool a little bit more. Obviously, that's not really an issue anymore. I don't see him coming back anytime soon. But if you're talking about the right player to play in that position, I think Coutinho is probably the better option. But you mentioned sort of in terms of the ceiling. I think Fekir arguably has a slightly higher ceiling in terms of potential than Coutinho. I think he's more skillful. I think he's a cleverer player, and more varied in the way he goes about his business. And I think that if they can find, you know, a spot for him, then his potential would be a little bit higher than Coutinho's.
Excellent. Stan, what about you? What do you think here comparatively?
Well, I don't know Coutinho as well as I know Fekir, but definitely I would agree on the fact that there is still some potential on Fekir. He can still improve. And he's, from my point of view, is maybe playing more for the other player than Coutinho could do sometimes. But is it better or worse? That's very difficult to say. So I'm not sure I got a clear opinion on that question.
No, no problem at all. Kevin, what about you? You got anything you want to chime in on that particular comparison?
Well, yeah, I think Coutinho is better than Nabil Fekir at the moment, definitely. But I think he would be a good replacement, especially with Keita coming in the summer. But in terms of level, Coutinho is far better right now. And I think, yeah, Coutinho would be better on a personal level, you know, in terms of skills, than Fekir. Fekir would be more of a team player. And yeah, that's it.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that. That's been one of the dialogues I've been having with, you know, some other folks, is the way that Liverpool have really, really taken off since Coutinho's departure. It kind of lends itself to this theory that he was, as talented as he was, he had to be the focal point. And a lot of what I hear about Fekir is that he would cater much more to that team-first dynamic, especially given what you guys have told me, to the point where Liverpool as a whole, with Fekir versus Coutinho, it might be one of those cases where the whole is so much greater than the sum of his parts. I think it's all valid. But again, given what I hear about Fekir, I think he fits the team ethos very, very well, probably more so than Coutinho, for all his magic, ever could. Guys, I want to shift the focus here a little bit from club to country just for a second, given how incredibly, incredibly deep and rich that French talent pipeline is. Obviously, we have Russia coming up. Seems like Didier Deschamps fraught for choice in just about every position, you know, two or three world-class players deep. Stan, I want to ask you first, what do you think the likelihood is that Nabil Fekir will make this Russia squad for this summer?
It will probably not be based on the potential of the player, but on the system that Deschamps will try to apply in Russia. I mean, as you said, there's a lot of very good players in France, especially in the midfield, and the choice is very difficult. And if Deschamps goes to 4-3-3, it will probably not take Fekir. If he wants to try something like 4-4-2, Fekir will definitively go to Russia. But that really, really depends on the system that Deschamps wants to apply. And unfortunately for Fekir, there's more chances that France will play in 4-3-3.
Okay. Man, I don't know much about the system setup. Adam, let me ask you your thoughts on that, as well as who you view as Fekir's main competition for a squad spot there.
Well, yeah, I think Stan's pretty much spot on there, in that it does depend a little bit on who, well, where Deschamps sees him playing, and the type of system that Deschamps, you know, picks for the majority of the games in Russia. You know, he's played a lot of what I would say is 4-4-2, with sort of Giroud as sort of a striker, and then sort of maybe Griezmann off him. But then that moves Kylian Mbappe out to a sort of a wider midfield position, which doesn't necessarily suit him a little bit deeper than he would like. He's more of a wide forward or a central striker for me. So there's a lot of, there's so much talent that it's they've got so many options potentially that Fekir has the opportunity to fit into a number of those systems. And it wouldn't surprise me if Deschamps was a little bit more versatile given how the Euros went. They kind of found their form, if you like, and found what got the best out of their players sort of later on into the knockout rounds. Obviously didn't turn out particularly well, but I'm thinking sort of halftime against Ireland in the second round when they were, you know, they were in trouble, and he switched sort of tactically and it paid off. And I think that given that, you know, the range of opponents they're going to play, I think he will look to be a little bit more varied. From my point of view, I think a diamond suits France perfectly. It gets the best out of players like Pogba, and you play Mbappe centrally, Griezmann centrally. You don't have to play Kante as a deepest midfielder, and that will give Fekir the opportunity to play as the tip of the diamond, which would suit him and the team perfectly. In terms of competition, it's so difficult to say, because you look down the list and you look at Lamar, Dembele, Payet's been absolutely fantastic for Marseille in the last month or so. Thuram's been unbelievable this season as well for Marseille. Gone a bit missing in big games, so he's sort of on the border there. Martial sort of dropped out a little bit, was poor against Russia in the friendly. So there's so much competition for not too many places. So I think Fekir's not far from 50-50 to go. But it also depends on whether Deschamps, you know, pumps a Payet given his form recently. I think it's probably one or the other at the moment.
Well, and that speaks again to the astounding depth of that French squad when, you know, a player that were, you know, basically foaming at the mouth to bring into Liverpool, a player the caliber of Fekir is a 50-50 shot at best to join up this team. I mean, that's just it's a scary, scary prospect. Going from small fish, big pond to big fish, small pond again. Give myself and our listeners a slightly better scope of Lyon's stature as a club in France. I know one of the things a lot of people have wondered about is the weight of the shirt. And that's always a question when, you know, someone's coming to a club like Liverpool. But I think a lot of people maybe make assumptions that a club like Lyon isn't of the same stature. Kev, I want to start with you. Do you think the pressure of a club like Liverpool compares to the pressure of a club like Lyon or vice versa?
Well, the Premier League is way more intense than Ligue 1, definitely. So I would say the pressure is more intense in England. But Lyon is probably one of the best clubs in France. They're fighting for the title every year, even though PSG are far ahead. But I think, Lyon reminds me of Liverpool a little bit, because it's the kind of team that can destroy PSG or a great team and just lose to the 20th or 90th in the league. So I think the pressure is way more intense in England, and Fekir would be able to fit in that no matter what, if that's the question.
Yeah, all too real what you describe about, you know, being able to go out and absolutely thump the best and then come up with an aggressively mediocre performance against the, you know, the bottom feeders. Stan, let me ask you, as far as the reputation of and stature of Lyon, do you think that it's a feasible jump for Fekir to make? Do you think there will be an increase in pressure going if he were to go to Liverpool, or do you think he's cut out to handle it?
You know, he's been raised in Lyon. He's definitely a child of the club. And he's not the first one to leave the club once a grown-up man. And so far, there has been absolutely no failure. Look at Benzema. Look at Tolisso in Germany this year. Look at Lacazette on Premier League. And so all those kids that comes out of Lyon, they're correctly trained, not only on the field, but outside of the field, and they're able to cope with the pressure when it's coming. But I probably would say that they're quite protected in Lyon. So that's definitely a shock. That's definitely a big change for them. But they're also apparently well prepared to face it.
Great. And I want to think the same, given, again, what I've heard and the little bit I've seen of just how Fekir carries himself and that air of, you know, that borderline between arrogance and confidence. He seems to be the kind of player who just loves the big occasion. And I agree. I think Liverpool, while it might be a step up in terms of intensity, as Kevin had said, it might just be the absolute perfect cauldron to get the most out of someone like him. Adam, I want to turn to you now. If Fekir does go, tell me a little bit about Lyon's options as far as replacing him, whether it's internally. I mean, you're talking about a club with a very, very strong track record as far as academy products, or if you think that they would dip into the transfer market to potentially pick out someone to fill those shoes.
Well, it's another interesting question. I think so. There are two points to this from a sort of a Ligue 1 perspective. Firstly, Hossam Aouar has broken through this season, a 19-year-old attacking midfielder. Very, very graceful, very skillful, very talented player. He's very, very sort of in the mold of sort of Andres Iniesta, perhaps. And so they've kind of got almost a ready-made replacement in him, given his age, only 19, and given that he's really sort of bursting onto the scene. And, you know, next season, they would look to give him a little bit more responsibility. And, you know, maybe in sort of 2 or 3 years' time, we might have this conversation about him, because talent-wise, you know, there haven't been many to come through in Ligue 1 with more talent than him. So you could argue that they might not even need to replace him at all. And they've got our, you know, ready waiting in the wings. But the second point to this is that Ligue 1 is slightly different to the Premier League, or in a number of ways. But in this way, particularly, that the players from sort of the lower down the league are often sort of picked off by the bigger clubs and promoted almost through the ranks, if you like. You look at Thomas Lamar, he started at Caen, went from 4 million to Monaco, and Monaco, a club very, very good at doing that, picking out talent from young talent from lower down the league and bringing it on and then selling it on, as you know, they made sort of 300 million euros last summer in selling all those players. So, you know, the likelihood that that Lyon go and spend big on a replacement is semi unlikely. They will need to replace Fekir to some extent, given his importance to the team and the talisman he's become. But they might look at someone sort of even in sort of mid table size, sort of Valentin Rongier perhaps at Nantes, and bring him in, and they might sort of a player of his ilk and maybe use him alongside Hossam Aouar and a little bit more rotation between those midfielders, because they've got Tunga Ndombele, who's been fantastic this season, another young player that sort of broke through, bought from Amiens, or he signed on loan from Amiens, but they'll sign him permanently in the summer. Who were promoted to Ligue 1 this season. He's been brilliant, like a bulldozer in midfield, really physical, really dynamic. So they've got options already there. And you could argue that if they did sell Fekir for 60, 70 million euros, as has been mentioned, it might solve a lot of problems that they've been having in terms of fitting those players into the team. You know, Mariano Diaz has been brilliant for the season, but he's kind of dropped out of sight with Depay's form, and Bertrand Traoré has been very good. It's fitting them all in. So without Fekir, they might be able to go a flat 4-3-3, or Aouar's much more suited to a deeper role. And they might sort of solve it organically, if you like. But I wouldn't see them spending big. And they at most they look sort of lower down the league for a player worth sort of 5 or 10 million euros and bring him in and nurture him. But in Hossam Aouar, they've got an absolutely fantastic talent, and one that, you know, fans of European football should really keep an eye on.
Yeah, that's definitely been a name on the tips of many tongues. And I love the dynamic you brought up about the, you know, the lower parts of the league, and actually even. You know, it shed some good light on the very, very underappreciated depth of the French league, not only the top tier, but a lot of people are quick to forget that, you know, Riyad Mahrez was bought from not even the first tier of French football, but the second tier by Leicester. That last year in the championship before they moved up, you know, same. And N'Golo Kante had just helped his squad achieve promotion before he was bought over. You know, Hazard, that's basically, you know, three reigning PFA player of the years in England that have come over from France, and it really is a pretty prolific talent pool. And, you know, credit to these sides for being able to identify the players like the Lamars, etc., and keep that French pipeline going. It really is a cool phenomenon. Stan, let me ask you, as far as replacing somebody like Fekir, were he to go, you know, given what Adam said, do you think they have the resources to replace him internally, or is there someone you would like to see the club potentially bring in to fill that gap?
Well, as a Lyon fan, I'm not ready yet to see him leaving. And I think that's really, it's 1 year too early for him to leave regarding the club. I mean, it's the first year he's captain, and Aouar is just rising and is not totally ready yet to take the position. So really seeing him leaving would be a real pain for me, because I really think that, he should stay at least one more year with the club. If he needs to leave anyway, I think that the club has proven, as it has been said several times, that we're able to get replacement either by having some of the young people from the club just jumping into the Ligue 1, or to find some good young player from other Ligue 1 teams. That's exactly what, or Ligue 2 sometimes. That's exactly what happened with the Nombele this year. And or just look at Mariano Diaz that we just bring from the reserve team of Madrid. And that has proven this year that he was a very good pick, a very good choice. So I think that in Lyon, there's some kind of flair to find the very good young people, the talented ones that are not the big name yet, and turning them into a big name while playing for Lyon. So I've got trust, I've got confidence that no matter what happens, there will be a good choice from the team.
Well, and speaking of names that have not yet made it, but maybe have the potential. A lot of the rumors surrounding this whole transaction include Nabil's brother Yassin as a potential option. I'll ask you guys again, because I don't know who is heard what. Can any of you guys speak to A, whether he would potentially be involved in this deal, and B, if I guess whether or not he is, if you could tell us a little more about him as a player.
Okay, I've seen him playing a few times with the reserve team. He's not as gifted as his big brother yet, at least, but he's definitely a good player. And he's a midfielder too, a bit more on the back than his brother, but a talented one, and he's able to make difference. I've seen him scoring a few goals. He has been named to be part of the transaction, but honestly, for the moment, that's more rumors than anything. The father of those two has just denied everything for the moment. So it's too early to say if, yes, he will be part of a potential transaction or not. But that's definitely an interesting player. So the first name is to follow too.
Adam, Kevin, you guys have anything to add? Do you guys have any prior knowledge of Yassin on the wing?
No, not at all.
That makes three of us. Well, Stan, thank you for your insight on that one. Going along with the reports, rumors, narrative, depending again on what you read, what you choose to believe, some people have put a price tag on this. Some have shied away from it. I think some of the reports were quoting something in the range of 60 to 70 million pounds, including bonuses. We'll go around the horn here. Adam, I'm going to start with you. If you had to assign a market value to a player like Nabil Fekir, what do you think would be a reasonable asking price for him?
Well, it's such a difficult question to answer because of the way the market has sort of fluctuated in the last, 12 months, 2 years, maybe even more. But especially recently, you look at the way PSG has spent money on, completely blown the original transfer record out of the water by signing Neymar. And, they'll spend another 180 million euros on Mbappe this summer as, the loan move becomes permanent. And in that context, which is how many of sort of the elite clubs are obviously, dealing these days, you look at Premier League transfers in last summer, you look at Morata and you look at Lukaku and you're sort of 70 million euros there. You have to kind of start thinking that Fekir's not too far away from that. And, that one perhaps even bigger caveat to that is the saga with Thomas Lemar at the end of the transfer window last summer, where Arsenal, bid 100 million right at the end of the transfer window, and 100 million euros, that is. And there wasn't really enough time for it. There's a bit murky, but there wasn't really enough time for the deal to go through, and some suspicion that Lemar may have turned them down. But if you look in that context, then Fekir, the prices that are being mentioned, sort of 60, 70 million euros, seem about right, to be honest. Personally, if you're going beyond that, I think that would be a little bit prohibitive. 60 million pounds in this market would be acceptable. It's a lot of money, but given his potential and he's 24, there's still a long, they could get a lot from that transfer. So if they got him for 60 million pounds, that wouldn't be too bad.
Excellent. Yeah, I agree that the numbers being thrown around make it really difficult to peg down something, you know, something definitive, especially if you use that, you know, if you use those reported Lamar bids as a high watermark. You know, you never know. Stan, let's get your take. What do you think a fair market value assessment for Nabil Fekir would be?
But no price. He's the captain of the team I support.
That's fair. Very fair.
That makes sense.
There's a lot of potential into that player. Really, I really believe that he's a future great name, if not already. So I would say that the price that is currently named, with or without his brother, is definitely at the least I can hear for such a player.
Well, Sten, let me ask a follow-up. Is there anything from a financial perspective as far as Lyon as an organization that would potentially compel them to, you know, to listen to an offer like that, as opposed to, like you said, just keeping their captain with so much potential on principle?
There is, as you may know, Lyon is the only French team that owns its own stadium, and it's only a few years that it's the case. It has been built from scratch. And so the club still need a bunch of money to just reimburse all the stadium. And depending of their qualification or not for the Champions League will make a big difference regarding the future transfer window. If there is no Champions League qualification, and we will know that this weekend, it will be much more difficult for OLAS, the Lyon president, to not listen to such offers.
Okay, yeah, very interesting. And they play against Nice, I believe, this weekend. Is that correct?
Yep, and that's going to be a tough game because Nice is also competing to be qualified in Europa League. So that's definitely going to be an interesting game on more than one point of view.
Yeah, I agree. And that was, you know, the way that Nice team rose through the ranks last season. They're definitely formidable, and you know, unfortunately, Lyon don't have the benefit Liverpool did of, you know, having their Champions League position riding on a match against a team that's already solidified its place. So best of luck to you guys in some sense, but secretly a part of me might be hoping that if Champions League is what gets this deal over the line or doesn't, I might be a closet Nice fan on the weekend. No offense. Kevin, let me ask you lastly, as far as market value for Nabil Fekir, both from the perspective of somebody who's seen him play in Lyon extensively, but also somebody who, you know, maybe has an understanding of Liverpool's finances and their other wants and needs for the summer. What do you think a fair asking price is, and what do you think Liverpool should pay? And I guess in that same vein, what do you think the cutoff should be?
Well, I think Fekir is worth at least 50 million euros, at least. But obviously, he's the captain of the team, and Lyon are very proud and protective with their players. Just so I think if we get it for maybe 70 or 80 millions of euros, it would be a fair price. And I'm just like you, I was born in Lyon, I secretly hope that Lyon might not get Champions League spot so that we can get Fekir, because he's a terrific player. And I would very hope that we get it in the transfer window. It doesn't matter how much we need to put on him, because I think a club would get the best out of him. I'm pretty sure of it. So I think between 60 or 85 millions would be a fair price.
Okay, yeah, and that's right in line with a lot of the figures being batted around. And again, you know, there are a number of things to come into play depending on how Liverpool does in the Champions League final. There's the knowledge that they have excess cash to spend. There's, you know, I know historically Jean-Michel Aulas has been known to drive a tough bargain. So, you know, that brings us around to our final question here, which what we always do on this podcast is we force you guys to commit. We force you to put a number between 1 and 10 on the likelihood of this transfer happening. And now I'll preface this by saying, Stan, I have no problem if you want to, if your ranking is colored by how much you want Fekir to stay. I totally understand that. I appreciate that. I always have a little inherent bias in this. But I'm going to go ahead and start with you, Stan. If you had to put a number between 1 and 10 on the likelihood of this transfer happening this summer. What would it be and why?
It's going to be quite low. It's going to be 2 or 3 for several reasons. First of all, as I said, he probably deserves one more year with the team, and I think that he knows that. Still got 2 years of contract, so we can wait without any problem for him one more year. It's going to be more a problem for the club than for him. And the other thing is that I'm not sure that he's really looking for the English Premier League. I think that he's more looking for the Spanish Championship. And he has said already several times that he was more attracted by that kind of championship. So I would say that it's, and that's not only the heart talking, it's quite unlikely to happen. Maybe I also believe in that. I want to believe in that, that it's unlikely to happen.
I completely understand. And that is an interesting perspective. You know, that's one thing that we haven't talked much about is the allure of other clubs. I mean, you have a player, the potential of Nabil Fekir, and we'd be naive to think that only Liverpool are looking at him. So yeah, there are bound to be plenty of suitors from all across Europe this summer if the price is right. Kev, let me come to you. Likelihood of this transfer happening between 1 and 10, my friend.
Yeah, that's a tough one, but I would say 6 because I want to believe it's going to happen first, but also because Liverpool, I think, if they win the Champions League, and I'm sure they will, I think they will get a lot of cash thanks to that, and they will be very keen on spending wisely on very good players such as Fekir. And I don't know about Fekir's, choice about Premier League or Spanish Championship, but I think Premier League is attracting pretty much anyone. It's the best league in the world, in my opinion, and I think it's the more passionate. So I think he would be attracted to it. And I've seen an interview of him recently. There was a journalist saying that you're linked with Liverpool, what do you say? And he was all smiles saying, yeah, no, there's nothing. But we all know what it means. It means that there's business going on and we will see if something happens or not.
Agreed. As much as I want to put all my eggs in that basket, there's certainly a degree of restraint in these ratings. But I'm right there with you and wanting to be on the positive side. Adam, what about you? You're gonna bring us home here. Rating between 1 and 10 of this transfer happening.
I'm gonna be slightly more up the scale than Stan. I think that it's sort of 3 or 4. Probably might even push it to 4, just about out of 10. So about 40%, maybe slightly less, maybe 3.5. But I think a couple of the factors the chaps mentioned there are probably something that will come down to be pretty crucial in the end. You know, Jean-Michel Aulas is you're absolutely right. He does drive a hard bargain, and he may see this as an opportunity to make a fair bit of money. The team's performing well. You know, they might be able to get a decent replacement from lower down the league. They've got Aouar and Ndombele waiting in the wings, so to speak. He may see it as an opportunity. He has denied that there's been any contact as Fekir, as the chap said, but whether that means anything is open to debate. And I think with the Champions League as well, the second point to this, if Liverpool go and win the Champions League, which is, as an Englishman, I really hope they do, that it draws sort of parallels with Eden Hazard's move to Chelsea. I think they won the Champions League just before he signed, and that supposedly it sort of affected his decision making a little bit, and he went there. So you could argue that there's a possibility for a similar sort of situation for Fekir. You know, Liverpool go and win the Champions League. Fekir's offered a big contract to sign for the European champions. It's difficult to turn down. So he may fancy Spain. He may like Spain more than England, or might like the idea of Spain more than England. But the joining the European champions is going to be a proposition difficult to turn down. And if Aulas is keen to make money on the transfer, it might be the right time for everybody involved. So I think somewhere around 40%, maybe slightly less, but it's an exciting proposition either way.
Well, and if you're going to pick a narrative to follow, I don't imagine I don't imagine Eden Hazard's would be too bad of a prospect from a Liverpool perspective, certainly. Obviously, got to throw my own hat in the ring here. As the in-house optimist, I'm going to go with an 8 on this, mainly because I've invested too much emotionally to to pull away. But I do think, there are a number of factors at play here. I do think Fekir wants a new challenge. And that's no offense, you know, no offense to Lyon or to Ligue 1. I just think he's ready to take that next jump. I think if he has spoken to Jurgen Klopp, I think the project is one that would intrigue him greatly. I think his role in it is one that would intrigue him greatly. And again, already having made the Champions League final this year, it's a massive, massive marker to put up, but with the potential to win it and, you know, a good shout at doing so. I just think all the signs point to it. And, you know, it's getting difficult to really, really figure out which of these reports to listen to or not. But I'm gonna go ahead and be an outright optimist on this one and say 8 out of 10. Just so our followers can have something to cling on to, and safety in numbers. If it doesn't work, we can all come crashing down together, gentlemen. I really want to thank all three of you for joining me. You've been tremendously, tremendously helpful, insightful, wonderful discussion on both the player, the league. I feel more than sufficiently informed. I'm sure our listeners will feel the same. Until next time, this has been the LFC Transfer Room podcast on Anfield Index. Thank you very much. We'll see you next time. Podcast Network.